I remember the day when our Lord lovingly brought me to Calvary. The very day that my pride and honor was washed away and I saw the truth in what this flesh is. But not only did I see what this flesh was at that time, I saw the glory of my Savior on His cross, on Calvary, taking all my sins upon Him. Our text this morning will be 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Will you join me in reading 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now before I dive headfirst into the subject that I want to talk about this morning, we must address this word all that we just read about. We know through many scriptures that our Lord has a people of whom He became a man, walking righteously before God the Father, establishing a righteousness for them. A people. He didn't do it for all the world. There are those in this world who would like us to believe that God loved the whole world. And I'm here to tell you this morning that if God loved the whole world, the God of Scriptures loved the whole world would be saved. If you think God is sitting there waiting for men to do, then you don't know waiting for you to do something, then you don't know Scriptures. It is so clear throughout Scriptures that God has a particular people. He established a righteousness for them in love, having predestinated them unto the adoption of children. Because of His love for those people, He predestinated them to the adoption of children. That's Scripture. That's not my interpretation or my desire. That's what God's Word says. By Jesus Christ to Himself, chosen before the foundation of the world, that they, the ones God the Father gave God the Son, before a star ever shined in the heavens, would be saved from the wrath to come. And there's wrath coming.
Yes.
And you and I know that that's exactly where we should be if we were left to ourselves in our flesh. Aren't you thankful? Can you not give praise to the Lord and Savior for showing us that very thing? For like I said a moment ago, when I saw what I am and what I deserve, I also saw the One who took it for me. Took what I deserve upon Himself. He who is perfect in every way became sin, that I would be made righteous in Him. That you would be made righteous in Him. And He did this for a remnant. That's what Scripture calls the people of God, a remnant, a small portion of those that walk the earth. He calls them My sheep. And He says, they hear My voice. Because He gave us ears to hear. When once we walked dead in trespasses and sins, now we walk in life in Christ. And we are dead to the world of self. In John 17:2, our Lord is praying to the Father, the priestly prayer, the true the true prayer. He says, as thou hast given him, speaking of Christ, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Does that sound like all the world? No, he has given life to as many as. Some of you have heard Pastor Gene preach on that subject a few times. What a wonderful subject that is, to be a part of the as many as. Oh, not to be left to ourselves. In the very same chapter, verse 9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. He tells some unbelieving Jews, I have shown you that I am God Almighty in the flesh by all the works that I have done. And you believe not because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. There are two verses in the sixth chapter of John where this word all is used. But it is most definitely means something different than what it means, what it seems to mean here in our text. Would you turn to John 6, verse 37? John chapter 6, verse 37. Our Lord says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. Now notice that these two verses, 37 and 39, the word all is followed by an explanation, showing us a particular group. All that the Father giveth me. That describes what that all is, doesn't it? Verse 39. All which he hath given me. Again, we see a description of what that all means. In our text, back in Timothy, there's no description of what that all is, but the world will take that all and they'll say it's for the all the world. That's where they develop this part, and they use John 3:16 along with that too, for God so loved the world. You know, you ask the people who believe in that God loves the whole world, you ask them and they'll use that scripture every time.
Free will.
Free will, absolutely. They'll use that scripture, for God so loved the world. And they forget, they completely neglect the part that whosoever. Because see, that's the key to that. That's the key to that word. That's the key to that phrase, is the whosoever believeth. It sounds like it's inviting you to believe. The problem is we can't in our natural state. There's no life in us until the Lord Jesus Christ comes to his people and gives life to that person. Lazarus didn't come forth until the Lord said, Lazarus, come forth. All is followed by an explanation that shows a particular group, or in other words, it shows the people of God. The same points that were made in the 17th chapter of John, and we see as many as. He says, I pray for them. We just read that. I just read that to you a moment ago in the 17th chapter of John. Those whose names were written in the book of life, written before the world was, Christ came and he died on the cross for a particular people. A people that he has loved with an eternal love. If universal love were true, then all would be saved. Our God is that powerful. He's not lacking in anything. All power in heaven and earth is His. Is that correct?
Yes.
We're pretty rooted in that, aren't we?
Yeah.
But there will be those who may be listening to this very thing on the internet who have never heard that before. They've never heard of a God who rules over everything. This God that is taught so much out in the world around us today is a weak God who's waiting for men to do something. Either make a decision, come to the front of the church, get baptized, worship on Saturday, whatever you want to put in there for men to do. But the God of Scriptures is the one who does it all. And when He says, all that the Father giveth me, just like we read in that article from David Edmondson, it's going to happen. No ifs, no buts, and no empty seats. As many as, He says. I pray for them, He says. Our God is that powerful. If it is His will, it shall be done. All power in heaven and earth belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is exactly why we must preach and teach the whole counsel of God. If you take a verse here and a verse there, you can make the Scripture mean anything you want. Anything that your heart's desire. There are some out there who have taken God's Word and made it into something that I wouldn't need. I won't even speak of. Well, just look at what the Catholics have done with God's Word. Now they worship men right out of it. They worship a man who sits on a throne over there in Italy somewhere. Rome. The Vatican. I guess it's its own country or something, I think. Folks, there are no contradictions in God's Word. If you think you see a contradiction in God's Word, it's because you don't understand something. And there's a lot in this book that we do not understand, that I do not understand, that you do not understand. There are a lot of things that I can't explain that I just chalk up to being a mystery, and God will reveal them someday, even if that day is the day when I go to stand before Him. There are no contradictions in God's holy word. The world has used these verses in our text back in Timothy, if you would please. These words where it talks about all men to be saved, or all men were ransomed. They make it sound like they make it a contradiction to what we have already read. So we must not completely understand exactly what that is saying. It looks like there is, but it's only because we don't understand it. After reading the commentaries from Spurgeon, Hawker, and Gill, they seem to agree that this scripture that we are reading of is referring to all kinds of different types of people. We just saw a moment ago, back here in verse 2, for kings, it says, well, let's begin at verse 1. I exhort therefore, I beg of you, I raise this up, therefore, that the first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and for all that are in authority. You see where it's describing who the all are? That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, in other words, all kinds of men, to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. We don't know if the leaders are going to... Do you pray for the leaders of this country? I dislike Nancy Pelosi a lot. But how do I know she's not a child of God? Is there somebody in this world that you don't like? Folks, we ought to be praying for everybody. People didn't know that John Reeves was a child of God until God
came to him that very day and showed him what Calvary, what meant. Did people know that you were a child of God before God called you out of darkness? No. Some people still wonder if John is a child of God. Our Lord has His chosen people in every tongue, in every nation, in every time. God's people are few and they're spread out, but they come from every kindred. And we preach to all who God brings to hear. Now that's not just the preacher who stands here at this pulpit, but that's you also. As children of God, you're going to go out and you're going to manifest that in one way or another, and people are going to know that you believe in a God, that you believe in the true and living God. Preaching and witnessing is the same thing. It's the same thing. That's all we're doing, is we're declaring our Savior. I just get to do it for an hour. Plus all the rest of the time the Lord brings it. Preaching and witnessing is the same thing. The people of God are few and they're spread out, but they are in every kindred, and we preach to all that God may give the increase. Paul is instructing Timothy. He's instructing Timothy in these very things, as we will see throughout this letter. So now, if you would, let us consider our subject for this morning. Look again at the sixth verse, if you would, please. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. My title this morning is Testified in Due Time. There was a day when the Lord, out of love, called each and every one of us out of darkness. Just as He did Lazarus, He called us personally. Not with the call that goes out into all the world, but with the call that goes directly into the heart. The new heart. The new heart that believes, because Christ has put that heart in His people. He cut away that old stony heart. You've heard me say that many times. And He gave us a new heart. A new heart that believes God. We read the scriptures. He gave Himself a ransom. And we can believe that because He's given us the faith to believe it. We can believe that He is God, that Christ Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh. I and my Father are one, because He has given us the faith to believe so. A gift. And because we know it's a gift, we glorify our Savior for that. Do you see how salvation is all of Him? Do you see that how all the glory goes to Him, no matter what it is? There's nothing in John to glory about. My Lord has brought it all. He has given it all to me. He came in due time. I was 40 years old. 5 years later, He came in due time, and my wife began to hear the word for the first time. She's a year older than me. Well, not quite a whole year. You see, you get my point, though? It was our due time. He comes in the day of love and calls His children out of darkness. And that's exactly what He's done to each and every one of us. Our Lord and Savior comes to His people in the day of His love, and by His power He quickens, He gives life to as many as the Father hath given Him. We just read that in John 17. In Romans 10:13 it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Folks, there are people all over the world this very day, this very moment, hearing about another Jesus. There is another Jesus. One who's waiting for men to do things. One who is waiting upon men. Who has done all that he can, and the rest be up to men. I'm here to tell you that is another Jesus than the one that is spoken of here in this Bible. Turn to the book of Acts, if you would, please. The 13th chapter. This one whom all power and authority belongs to. This one that we read about in the scriptures from cover to cover. The Lord Jesus Christ. This one who is God in the flesh is the only way to eternal life. Any other way is another Jesus. Any other way is like a thief stealing the glory from God Almighty. By our Lord and Savior, by Jesus Christ's sacrifice for the sins of His people, we have a righteousness established in Him. A righteousness that gives us the right and the ability to stand before a thrice holy God, holy as God Himself. He who knew no sin was made sin that we would be made righteous in Him. He took all of the sins of His loved ones. He took them out into the grave with Him, never to be seen again, hidden as far as the east is from the west. I love that. I remember hearing that first time, and I thought to myself, I got to think about that for a minute. Okay, you go that way, you go to the ocean. The east is the other way. You go that way, you go to the ocean. And then you just keep right on going. You go that way. It confused me for a minute, to be quite honest with you. I'm a little simple-minded about those kind of things. And then all of a sudden it clicked to me. Wait a minute. You can keep going around and around and around. You're never going to get to meet they'll never meet each other. Our Lord never sees our sin anymore. That's good news. That's great news to me. How about you? He took all the sins of His loved ones and He took them into the grave. He bore our iniquities in His body, and the blood of God was shed for our sins. Grace, amazing grace, how sweet the sound we sing that saved a wretch like me. How are you going to call upon the name of someone you've never heard of? You're not. Our Lord has to bring you to where that name is declared openly and clearly. Testified in due time. He has to bring you to the point to where you'll hear the power of God spoken of in Jesus Christ. Spoken, testified in due time. First, you must be given life to hear, for the dead don't hear. Then you must be given life to call, for the dead can't speak. And life comes through the preaching of the gospel, the true gospel, the gospel that gives Christ all the glory. The gospel of Christ and Him crucified. This is what all preachers are sent from God to do. We preach Christ. Paul is preaching this very thing right here in the book of Acts chapter 13. If you would join me in reading from verse 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience. Hear the word of God. Preach. Listen to me. Let me tell you about the one who rules over everything. Notice to whom Paul is calling to here. Men of Israel. Spiritual Israel. Ye that fear God. See, that's the problem with our world today, folks. There's no fear of God in the world. Somebody put that on Facebook and I had to forward that on because that is so true. There's no fear of God in our leadership. They want to take the Word of God out of the buildings of the public. They take the Word of God out of the schools that our children are raised in. I saw something yesterday that just sickened me. There's a school that allows the children of Muslims to get down on their hands and knees and do their little prayer time. But they won't allow a Christian child to ask, "Can I pray to my God?" Oh no, you can't do that. There must be separation from church and state. It just sickens me. They've taken God out of the world. But that's the way the world is. That's the way we were before too. Exactly the way we were. I remember. Can you remember the pit the Lord brought you out of?
Yes.
I remember. It was all about John and his little world. And it still is to some points. I have to fight that. But that's a battle that we will all have to fight until the day the Lord takes us home. Ye that fear God. Verse 17, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. Did God spare anything in delivering his people from Egypt? No, in fact, he made such a spectacle of it that the world talks about it even today. I've seen the TV shows try to explain how God raised the waters up and made people walk on dry land. They even talked about that, how the winds came through and just instantly dried out the mud. And you'll recall, I sat there and laughed at it. These people are just flat out crazy trying to explain that. This was a miracle. The same miracle in delivering you and I. The same miracle of showing us who Christ Jesus is. He raised the waters up and we walked on dry ground to safety to our Lord and Savior. He drew them to himself. You notice it didn't say any of them got in a boat and tried to go over there and go that way. No, they walked on dry land because that's what God provided them to do. A powerful arm indeed. All power in heaven and earth belong to our Lord and Savior. All power, even power over men's so-called will. I love that. If I was left to my own will, I'd still be where I was at. Thank God for His will. Thank God for His will in calling me out of darkness. Verse 18. Paul goes on to preach, and about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. Aren't you thankful our Lord is long-suffering? 40 years he watched John go along. Long suffering with the stuff that John was and is. Until the day when I heard the testimony of who Christ is. The due time. Testimony in due time. Oh, how thankful I am our Lord is long-suffering to me. Verses 19 through 23. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will.
Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised up Israel a Savior, Jesus. Do you see the due time? Paul is testifying that all these years went by between Jacob and David. But the due time came when David would be called to be king. Just as the due time would come when the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be born of a virgin. This is the testament that we give to those that God is pleased to hear, have us speak to. It's in His time. You don't believe the Word of God? That's okay. It's not your time. When it's God's time, you will believe the Word of God. If God says it, it's going to happen. The Messiah, the one who was foretold of since the beginning of time, God taught Adam and Eve this very thing, as I was speaking of in the Bible study this morning. He taught them in due time. The testament was given of the Lord and Savior when God killed an animal to clothe those who were naked, Adam and Eve. That was a testament of the Lord to come, our Savior, who would give Himself and shed His own blood. He would go up to Jerusalem to be scourged, to be beaten, to be trampled upon. And He would go willingly. That's the testament. And in due time, that all came about just as it should be. Just as our time to be called out of darkness came. The very day our eyes were opened up in our ears and we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time, we said, that makes more sense than anything I've ever heard. Verses 24 and 25. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. We who preach are aware of our insufficiency. As I have said many times, I am nothing more than a sinner preaching to sinners about the one who saves sinners. That's all it is. Don't put me up on any pedestal. Put Him up on the pedestal. He's the one who needs to be on everybody's pedestal. He's the one who deserves it. He's the one who should get all the glory for everything. We know our insufficiency. We know that we cannot save, but our Lord saves through the preaching, through the testimonies, through the teaching of His Word. The preaching of Him. Verse 26. Men and brethren, children in the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God. To you is the word of this salvation sent. Here again, those who fear God, those who have been called out of the darkness you once walked in, those who have been given the gift of faith, the ability to believe, the life to see that salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. This message is sent, it is testified at the due time for you. Now is the day of salvation. In Isaiah 49:8 we read, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time. Let me repeat that. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee. And in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, we read, for He has said, I have heard thee in the time accepted,
and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, if you would join me in reading 27 through 39, and I'll close with just a few words after that. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, verse 27, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which were read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. And it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to the corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another Psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Pardon me. But he, speaking of our Lord and Savior, whom Christ raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, brethren and brethren, that though this through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Folks, we cannot earn. We cannot earn our way into heaven by following the law of Moses. All that does is condemn the soul. We cannot buy our way into heaven. Our works are as filthy rags. I plead with you this morning. I plead with myself. Turn away from the things of this world. Turn to the only salvation from sin. Turn to Christ. That's the testament. Is today your due time? The testimony is this: Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of which I am chief. Turn to Christ, who says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You know why he won't cast them out? Because coming to Christ is his work. Whether you know it or not, he brought you to him. And if you belong to him, he will bring you to him. In the day of his power, in due time, through the drawing power of God, at the due time, his chosen are called to hear the testament of the one who gave himself a ransom for all of his elect. John chapter 6, verse 39. And this is the Father's will. This is the will of God Almighty. This is the will of him who created everything. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me,
I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day.